John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. And when you are ready, please let me know if we can read it together. Amen? I'm kind of nervous. Says chapter 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we believed this glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was the was he of whom spoke he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received in grace of grace, for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man not seen God at any time, the only forgotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he but declared him.
Amen. I'm sorry. No, you God did good. You. Amen. If I had to read Spanish, believe me, you did it'd be horrible. So God bless you, brother. Thank you. All right. So I just want to touch just a little bit on this understanding of Christ Jesus being the light. Do we have anyone that just speaks Spanish? Do we need an interpreter? Or does everybody understand English tonight? Everybody understand English? Okay, very good. All right, well, thank you, John, for being ready. I appreciate it, brother. God bless you. First thing I just want to simply say, there's four points here that I want to make in these four verses that we see. And the first one is the Word / glorious light, because that's what we're talking about. It's a glorious light that was born on this day. So the Word / glorious light became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I just want that to just take a second for that to sink into you tonight. This is the very thing that we are celebrating today, right? The very understanding that God left heaven and came here as a baby to dwell among us. And why he would ever want to do that, right? But he does, because he loves you and I. So just let this just sink in. So what does this really mean? First of all, the light brought forth the fulfillment of all prophecy. Amen? Just like we talked about on the calendar and how you talked about the prophecy of Christ, him being born in a manger, him being born in swaddling clothes, that all fulfilled what has been said for many, many years before, that he fulfilled prophecy and what that means to us as we celebrate this glorious light tonight. The light entered the world and became the source of life for man. If this event did not happen, you and I would not have life the way that we have life. Amen? We have life because Christ fulfilled the prophecies and he came in. You see, this light knows me inside and out because he became me. Now, let me explain that. He became man, fully man. He understands exactly who you are because he came to dwell and to fellowship and to spend time with you and me. And he is still doing that today. Amen? And here's the wonderful thing about this is this is not just any ordinary light, but it's light that pursues you and me, and the darkness cannot stop it. Did y'all hear that? This light pursues you. This light pursues me. Even in the darkest and most horrible time here on earth, his light pursues us. And it says his light repels darkness. Darkness cannot stand in the same light of Christ, this beautiful, glorious light. So the Word, the glorious light, became flesh and dwelt among us. The second point on here that I think is very incredible is we get to experience his glorious light every day. We get to experience it every day. His glorious light The reason we get the experience is that if you are a child of God, if you've come to that time where you've asked Christ in your heart, you understand he comes and he dwells not just among you, but in you. This light comes into our heart and he dwells in us. And because he dwells in us, we get to experience him every day. And even on the days that we don't notice it, or even on the days that we don't acknowledge it, we still are experiencing it whether we know it or not. Because he doesn't leave us, does he? He is always there. So not only do we get to experience him because he's in us, but his glorious light is at work all around us as well. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the church. Did you know this light is at work in Patsy? Did you know this light is in work in Miss Vicky? This light is in work with Elizabeth. This light is in work with just each one of Tina. It's because it's at work all around us. It's in our brothers and sisters. And then it's in his creation. Matter of fact, in Romans, it says that man is without excuse because his very creation is boldly praising who he is. You realize it says that at a point, if you and I stop praising him, even the rocks will cry out. So we get to experience him because his glorious light is all around us. It's not only in us, but it's also around us. The other thing that scripture tells me is his glorious light is from the Father. The Father with a capital F, amen? Because he is the Father. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the last here we experience his glorious light every day is because his glorious light is full of grace and truth. You see, this is his light as well, his Word. And that's why it says that this Word is living and breathing. It's not just simply just things, words written on pages, but it's his truth. It's his rule. It's him right here. And we get to experience it because whether we agree with the promises or not, these will be fulfilled. And we get to experience his word each and every day. And I'm so thankful for that. So the first point there was the word, the glorious light became flesh and dwelt among us. Second, we get to experience his glorious light every day. And third, we see that in the gospel that John the Baptist bore witness to this glorious light. John first bore witness, and he says this glorious light was before John. Now, how could that be possible? I mean, biblically, John was born before who? Jesus. But remember, Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was before John, and he bears witness. And I love how it says this. Here it says, this glorious light compelled, get that, compelled John to what? It compelled John to what? Cry out. You see, he couldn't be quiet. I love when Peter and John in Acts are captured and they're brought before the religious leaders, and they look at them and they say, you can't speak anymore. Stop spreading this message. And what did John and Peter say? They said, well, you could say what you want, but we can't help but to share about this glorious light. We cry out as well. And I say that's still our job today. We are to bear, we are to cry out his glorious light to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to the lost and dying world. It is our job, as John bore witness, as he cried out for you and I, to take this glorious light and to cry out as well. And last, I love what it says. His glorious light deserves for us to cry out. Our testimony's him, but our glorious light offers us, and he says it right here. He didn't just simply say grace. And guys, you know, grace is his unmerited love given to each and every one of us. There's nothing you can do to earn this grace. It doesn't just simply say grace. Put it up and let's see what it actually says there. If you'll put it up there for me. I think it's 17 right in there. Yeah, for the law was given grace. All right, I'm sorry. Go to 16. Yes, right there. Look what it says there. For from his fullness, the fullness of Christ, We have all received grace, not just grace, but grace what? Upon grace. We receive as unmerited love, as unmerited love for us, but then not only that, then we receive it again day in and day out. It's grace upon grace. His light, His glorious light, continues to give us grace until we're on the other side of this thing we call life. Grace upon grace. How beautiful is that? And then it brings us to our fourth point. This glorious light is the Savior that the law requires. That the law requires. And he brings this out in verses 17 and 18. We'll put that up real quick if you would. For the law was given through Moses, and this was a standard. You see, we need the law to know what we do wrong or right. It kind of defines God's expectations. But there's no way you and I could live up to the law. And because we couldn't live up to the law, God had to bring this glorious light so that when Christ looked at, when God looks at us, He sees us through Christ. And that law, Christ met the requirement for every bit of the law. This light met the requirement so that when we accept Him and He dwells in us and we experience Him, when God looks at us, He sees us through this glorious light. He doesn't see me for who I am. Thank goodness. Because you see, Moses brought the law, but Christ fulfilled the law. Once there was darkness, and now there is glorious light. I'm so thankful for that. You see, the glorious light can only come from the Father. It was only Him. And we know that because John 14:6 tells us, right? This world will tell you there's many ways to get to the Lord. But the Bible says there's only one way. One way. And it's only through this glorious light. You see, only the Father can reveal to us who the Savior is through the glorious light. And I'm thankful that's exactly what. Go to 18. Look what it says here. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him what? Known. And it is only through His Holy Spirit that you and I can even comprehend or understand what the glorious light is.